welcome to the GodIsAGeek.com podcast. I'm using a different voice than normal, a little bit higher pitched. My name's Adam Cook, and the reason it's higher pitched is because this week is a special episode. The people on this podcast don't know it yet. Well, one of them might have a clue. I am not even going to bother introducing Adam Carroll. Is that all right?
That's okay.
Adam, no, shush. They don't care. I'm joking. Adam Carroll, how are you?
I'm ecstatic.
I suspect you're excited as well. That's the word I want to hear. Yes. Now, the reason I've introduced you is because the very next words to come out of this gentleman's mouth, for some reason, sounds dirty, and I don't think I meant it to. He's going to tell us, person I haven't introduced yet, he's going to tell us the name of the video game he went to preview in that there London, UK. And I suspect if you're here listening to this, you've seen the image on the podcast, you've seen the picture, and you think it looks familiar. And that's because it does, because Christopher White has been playing
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh! You have, yeah.
I have. Yes.
Here we go.
Regular listeners, and if you're not one, if you've tuned in just for the FF7R, that's what we're calling it, by the way, the hipsters call it that. That's what we're calling it. If you tuned in for that, fair enough. But normally there's a good section of lols and bants here, isn't there, lads? Lads with a Z, that was, by the way.
Sure is.
Always.
But this, we haven't got time. We haven't got time. There are more important things. Chris White, I believe I emailed the PR involved in this event and said, I would very much appreciate if she punched you in the stomach because you got to play it and I didn't. Important question, did she do that?
She didn't get a chance, mate, because I picked up my Buster Sword and swiped her.
If you've seen
the image on my social media accounts, you'd have seen me pick up the hopping sword that Cloud uses. And like, let's just get into it. So, and by the way, I didn't punch anyone. I just want to say no violence.
How tempted? No, he didn't. No, there's no violence. We're joking. I did actually say that in the email though. Chris was copied in. It wasn't behind his back.
I wasn't punched. I was very much taken care of.
I'm sure. I have one question for you before you just jump into the game. And I know people are going, oh, you said there wasn't any lols and bants, but here you are, stopping him talking about it. Not intentional. I need to know this, right? Because I saw that picture. I saw the picture of you with a sword. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like the most and 1 being not at all, how tempted were you to somehow, and it's huge, by the way, if you haven't seen the picture, it is life-sized, the sword. How tempted were you to try and somehow steal that sword?
I thought about it. It was tricky because there was two exits. One was at the front where I came in and there was a bouncer there. The other one was around the back where I went out for a vape. But I knew where I was going from the front entrance, but I had no idea at the back, so I had to kind of leave it. Although there was Barrett's augmented railgun there as well, which was a bit smaller, but it was a lot heavier. But I don't know which of the two would have been easier, but I think if I'd have walked around London with that anyway, someone would have beat me up and stole it. So it's where it belongs.
I mean, Buster Sword, more like ready for this? More like Buster Nut.
Oh, yeah. And Buster Nut I did.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. Now, my joint favourite game of all time. I don't know where it stands for you guys. Just tell us, Chris. We should say you played quite a bit of it, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I played around, give or take, about 3 to 3.5 hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And there was four areas that I could have played. I played three of those four areas. One of the areas was a boss fight, but I'd already had two boss fights, and I was very much just enjoying exploring, taking my time, looking around. I got to see a lot of the, obviously people that listen have played the originals, the silo, first silo, the first Mako silo, and the second one. So a lot of it was kind of internal. There wasn't a lot of outside. There wasn't a lot of exploring Midgar, but it was enough to get used to the combat system. So, and before I talk about the combat system, I played a bulk of the action, which is the majority of the thing I'll be talking about. So that's basically outside of the classic mode. But in turn, I got to play as Cloud for quite a bit and play through the first mission. And then when Barrett comes in, and as you can play as Barrett, I was switching between the two. And then later on, I got to play the second silo with Tifa. So I got to experience a lot of the combat systems. I got to see a lot of the cutscenes and the visuals and how, you know, what they've done to make this game visually impressive. Like so before I sat down to play. There was a brief presentation by Yoshinori Kitase, who was the director of the original, and he's producing this one. And Naoki Hamaguchi, who's also like a co-director of this, and he was visual effects on the original. So they were talking quite a lot about what they've done in their, you know, in the development to make this the best they could make it. And it's so much more than a remake. Like, I think that remakes and reboots, they can get confusing for some people and they can be used that turn. But much like Resident Evil 2 Remake, where that was kind of a complete overhaul, this was a much bigger challenge because you see the original and how it looked. Like, it's obviously nothing like this, but they have managed to recreate this so faithfully from what I've played. Right from the opening cinematics to how the silos look, to certain like animations of when Cloud looks up and sees the silo before he goes in, and just the city in ruins, and like just like when you jump off the train at the very start, it's exactly the same, and you bump into the first two guards, it's eerie how similar it is, but obviously it's a million times more impressive by how it looks and so forth. So from a visual standpoint, absolutely stunning. Like, the lighting's incredible, and the Hamaguchi was saying at the start that they basically put together a load of PCs, linked them all up, and did a lot of data analysis on lighting and reflection and all this to kind of get that particular like accuracy with the lighting in the game, and that's just like one brief description of something they've done to make this visually impressive. Like, I mean, it's all of it so far is nuts. When it comes to the actual running around and the gameplay, it's incredibly satisfying to play. So you've got the square acts as your kind of like your striking ability. You can press that and it'll strike whoever you're targeting. Targeting works similar way. You can press the right stick and it'll pick on someone, and then flick the left stick and it'll switch. So you can do that. If you hold the square down, it kind of starts a chain of attacks with your strike. So you'll strike continually while still holding this in, and then you can, while still holding the square, and you can move over and attack somebody else. So it's very kind of very easy way to get started and get used to the controls. With Cloud, you press triangle and it starts something called Punisher mode, which you still press square to attack, but the attacks are a lot harder, a lot heavier. You're slower, but it helps when you're taking out like not a lot of the kind of enemy. So, it's good with boss fights. It's good with kind of heavy equipped enemies. But you can switch between that dead quickly by pressing triangle. So you can switch between different modes. On top of that, you've got a selection of special attacks that, once you build up your ACB bar, your active time battle bar, by kind of successfully striking your opponent or your enemy, you'll be able to then use these special attacks by pressing one of the corner buttons, the top buttons on your PS4 analog, and it'll open up a menu. So the more you play,
buttons.
I'm trying to think what the fucking the name.
Shoulder buttons.
Shoulder, that's the one.
I think you just had a stroke there, Chris.
I'm just too excited.
I know. I was like, what's he talking about? Corner buttons. Has he been playing on PS5?
You should see the clothing on my lower half at the minute. Soaking. Right. So you can press the shoulder buttons, and it'll open up a menu, and you can then pick on the fly different special attacks. And whilst doing that, it slows down the action. So
are these are they the limit breaks?
The limit, yeah, that can be used, but there's also a load of different attacks as well. So they're not as powerful as a limit break, but they are essentially another layer of
an attack. So how do you get a limit break? Because if you're that used to be another bar that was building up.
So the way on your characters, there's like the blue
did
bars.
Did you do it? Didn't you? I mean, I don't know if you'll have it in the video preview, but I've seen the footage, and there we are, limit breaks.
There's like a yellow bar next to your character, and next to your like your HUD at the bottom right. You've got a yellow bar, and once that fills, and I'm assuming that fills just by continually attacking, and that's how it felt. And then you'll get your limit
break.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
And then you press your shoulder button, and then it'll open up, and then the limit option will appear. Go to that, and then you can attack. So this is just Cloud at the minute. So with Barrett, you've got the same kind of option. So the triangle doesn't open a Punisher mode. It opens something called Overcharge, which instead of like a continuous firing of your gun, it fires this like really forceful shot, which kind of just, instead of like a load of bullets hitting your enemy, it'll be like a succession of six all at the same time kind of thing. And that does a lot of damage. Then he's also got different attacks by pressing the shoulder button. He's also got a limit attack. Same with Tifa. She's got different moves, different skill sets. So you've got a varied range within your party. And the fact that you can flip between your party dead quickly helps, especially when you're taking on like a multitude of different enemies, or like there's turrets in the background, but with Cloud you can't reach them because you're a melee and you can't jump. So you flick to Barret, aim at those turrets, take them out. And whilst you're taking them out as Barrett, Cloud will still continue to strike because the AI in your party is very good. So it never feels like you're at a disadvantage. It's so far, from what I've played, the 3 hours I've played, it's a fantastically put together game in terms of the combat so far and the visuals and everything and the music. I've just got a feeling it's going to be something incredibly special. However, the only thing that was an issue for me was the camera. And
this was a thing in 15 for a lot of people as
well. Yes, so this is basically in my preview you can read about it. I've tried not to mention 15, but at the minute it's looking that way. So
I don't know that you can avoid saying,
no, you absolutely can't.
No, you can't.
The thing is, like, this is like someone playing a sort of new game that's like a Souls game and not referencing Souls. You can not reference it because you don't want to, because people are sick of it, but it's the reference point. And again, I haven't played it, but I watched every bit of the hour you captured, because we couldn't capture all of it, I should say.
Yeah.
The hour you were allowed to capture. What I'm looking at, having not played it, is this looks like Final Fantasy 15. But Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I mean the when you're, cause when you're in the silo and you're indoors and you're in a restricted area, the camera can be crazy because it's constantly flipping around, and unless you're targeting someone, you can lose track of who you're hitting. When you're in a bigger area, it's not as bad. However, it can still be difficult to get a full focus of where you are. So I don't know how that's not going to be prevalent in the full release.
The thing is though, you think about Final Fantasy VII, the original game, it does start very much indoors.
Yeah, exactly.
And even when it gets outdoors, like when you go back to Tifa's sort of where they're hanging out, the gang are hanging out, it's still kind of small scale. It isn't until you get out of Midgar that the open world is an open world. So I'm sort of, what I'm hoping is that, all right, there are camera issues, but once the game opens up and thus the world opens up, but then we don't know how much of this game this is. Like, I keep having to stop myself and go, oh yeah, it's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's still not clear where it's going to end, really. But I think this is going to be great. I think if it is hindered by these camera angles, like, the thing with Final Fantasy 15 is that the camera angles didn't help, but neither did the characters. The story, it wasn't
satisfying.
So with Final Fantasy 7 being as good as it was and having a good solid story, the characters are likable. Even from playing them now, like they're interesting and they've got a great kind of chemistry.
What do you make of Barrett? Because one thing I noticed, again, haven't played it, watched your footage. In the original, like, Barrett did swear, but it was kind of all like, censored with like, hashtags, exclamation marks. He swears in this game. They all talk. All of the characters talk.
Yeah.
and Barrett didn't sound how I... The thing is there's two people playing this game, right? And there's me, people who were like, never thought in a million years we'd ever get that remake. And here it is. You know, I've now seen evidence it exists. I'm talking to someone right now who has played it. It exists. It's happening. But there will be people who... You know, the games are made up of people these days, of people who were just born when this game was coming out, or not born at all in some cases. And games like Final Fantasy VII don't hold up if you go back to them unless you were there at the time. Because most of that era of PlayStation games, I don't know, Adam, if you feel the same, but most of the era of PlayStation and PlayStation 2, because a lot of it was 3D, it just doesn't hold up unless you were there and have the nostalgia for it. So I think there's that person who's coming to it, but the person who's me is coming to it in my mind for the, what is it, 25 years plus?
Yeah, maybe 97.
Yeah, so for all those years, you almost have this picture of the characters in your head, how they sound, how they talk, because I've played 7 through, I don't even know how many times. I wouldn't even like to actually guess the hourage I've put into that game. I mean, even the original, at the time, I played through about 5 times. When I was a kid, you know, I've played it since on Switch, even, you know, and all the other formats. So I had a preconceived idea of how they'd sound, and Barrett didn't. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I'm focusing on a small detail.
No, I get it. I think the thing is, you grew up with these characters. These characters mean a lot to you. They're now out there. They've got. Voice cast, they look completely different. Well, they look completely different.
I mean, they had to do it.
Like, to me,
it would have been really weird if they didn't speak. It would have been really weird.
No,
in this day
yeah, it would. But I don't have a problem with it. I think it's fine. Like, because the Final Fantasy action's always kind of been a bit flamboyant.
Yeah.
So like games like Vanquish, like the big kind of bulky guy, and that's like he's like over the top and that.
But he's a stereotype, 100%.
It works. And so is Barrett to a point. And it's fine. Like, his journey, like, that character, now he can talk, and now the things that kind of happen with him and stuff, that I can't wait to see that kind of progress now. He's a fully fledged, voiced character. And I feel the same about Cloud and what happens with him and, you know, and his journey and what happens to him. Like, that. There's so much from that original that I keep thinking, oh my God, we're going to get to see this happen with the visuals and the score and everything now. That I just,
the soundtrack
can't...
sounded immense, by the way. What
and
I heard
and
of that was
that's
like,
another
wow.
thing. Like, when Hamaguchi was talking, he was saying how the score, there's a melody that plays throughout the game, and it plays when you're kind of traveling around. And then in the battle scenes, that melody is still present, except they build upon it and utilize the same theme. And then after, if there's an emotional moment, it uses the same theme, but again, it's been altered, and it's like it does sound like different music. But that's the kind of the synergy of the soundtrack, is it's very familiar throughout, and it works. It sounds different, but it's all using that same theme. Like there's a hell of a lot of work gone into that before they've even started on the actual gameplay. So
I have two questions. One is regarding the camera, right? Like, it's obviously the criticism you currently have, right? And it's one, as I said, in 15 people had a problem with, especially when you went to caves and stuff. But that was down to obviously the combat being so frantic and all that, right? By any chance, did you like get a chance to do the turn-based combat mode in this?
Yes, but
and like so when you did that,
hang on, I don't know if I can talk about it. That's why I've been a bit cagey.
Yeah, there's some stuff Chris is not allowed to talk about.
That's fine.
I get it.
That's fine.
But yeah, so this is solely just the kind of the action element to it.
And delete.
I will say something I did notice, because I was initially, when it was announced, not trepidatious, but concerned, because I don't hate 15, right? I don't. What 15 is for me is a good game, but what I don't think of it as is a Final Fantasy game.
No.
It is. It's got the name on it, but it's not in my stupid head. Final Fantasy 15 is not what I think of when I think of a Final Fantasy game. So when I realised that they are basically making 7 Remake in that style, my instant concern was I didn't think the combat was Final Fantasy. The thing I noticed from watching Chris's video is that there are definitely tactical elements even in the kind of action mode of that game. So, for example, the ATB stuff is really relevant. Like, there was, we probably won't show it in the video, but there's a moment where Chris was trying to heal Barrett and it wouldn't let him use an item because using items was part of that ATB and he had used up his 2 blocks of ATB. So there is definitely an element of why, yes, you can hold down square to just keep attacking. If you're using other actions, you will not be able to just, I can heal now. So it is still, to me, that is kind of keeping some turn-based stuff in the action game. Mm. And that kind of calmed my concerns. Because the idea that you could just attack, do all this, you know. And what I found, like, with 15, there was, a disconnect between you and the enemy. Whereas in the original Final Fantasy stuff I love with the turn-based stuff, you know, it was kind of like, this is a bit like Octopath Traveler does. You queue up your actions. That's your turn, literally. And if you get it right, great. If you don't, and when I found it, the more action-based Final Fantasies, it kind of didn't ever feel like that because they would be attacking you and you'd be attacking them, and there wouldn't be like any animation staggering as such. You know, like in a good, you know, game like Bloodborne, you know, the enemy goes to attack you, and you can, you know, you can use an action like firing the gun to just stop their attack. That tactical stuff to me feels like just the fact that you can't just do that and then go, oh no, it's fine, I'm going to heal or use a Phoenix down because you've used up your ATB. To me, that is something that I'm like, okay, now I feel a lot better about this now. Does that make sense, Dad?
Yeah, definitely.
It all flows very well as well. Like you get used to the ATB and how that works the more you play. So there's definitely a strategy involved in the just the action elements where it was like Final Fantasy 15 wasn't like that at all.
But that's kind of I feel 15, right, gets a real bad dirty stick, right?
Me too.
I really think it gets a bad one because, yeah, okay, you can feel what you want about the characters and its story, but like the combat, right? I liked it, and I don't think people really kind of like were all about it or really gave an opinion about it in some way. Maybe I just didn't see it, but I didn't see people say it was shit.
I felt like people got caught up in the kind of, look at all the good boys, and it's like that sort of stuff kind of did my head in a bit, and it's like, what about the actual game then?
Which is why whatever we have seen of this remake of 7, I've been like, I'm for this, but is everyone else? And that's why I know you can't talk about the turn-based side of it, but I'm so intrigued because, for me, I've played the original of 7, like yourself, Ed, I've played it a fair few times, that I'm not going to do this turn-based, unless it really kind of does wow me, but like I can see myself just playing it the way it's now designed to be played. So I'm excited that way. My other question that I wanted to ask, and maybe you can't answer this either, but I'm going to see. With this being released in like chapters, Midgar itself, without saying absolutely anything, if you have played it, we all know how it is. But in this, is there enough for this game to be in chapters? Because in the original, you kind of have your like. What I'm trying to say is like, is there enough?
They've added side quests, mate. They've added. I've seen this. Chris, you know, Chris is whether he can or can't talk about it. I've seen this. They've got like characters in it that.
So we're getting extra
there.
Story, pretty much. In a way,
I think so, or certainly extra content.
Fair enough.
I don't even know because you know Chris played from the start, didn't he? So I don't even know if you got to any of that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Because in the kind of presentation. Kataste was saying like the world, like they basically showed, even though we didn't play anything outside of kind of the silos really and a little bit of in the city, he showed like some stills of the world of Midgar and like the various kind of like parts of it, so like the mountains, the inner city and the, like the bright lights, and then the kind of the forests, and there's a lot there, and I feel like they are going to open it up massively, and that within those there are going to be quests for side characters. I know that they did say that they were adding like stories for like backstories, almost is how it came across, for like the main characters. So you'll get to see more of Barrett and more of
that's Aerith, unreal,
Tifa, whoever. But again, it's all kind of not a lot of detail got mentioned, but that's what I got from it. And
I feel like they're still not telling us actually, which is weird to say about a 25-year-old game.
Yeah.
What they want to do is keep it a surprise, I think, because from...
I think that's fair.
Like, the kind of restrictions for our content are fair, I think, because the obviously this game will be for new players. It's not solely for those who play the original, because there are a lot of people, as you said earlier, that weren't even born then and have been playing games from a completely different era. So
don't get me wrong, they will pretend they were around, but they weren't.
Yeah, of course they were. And they are aiming it at new people, but for those, and I feel like a majority of people that will play this are the ones that were there back in 1997 on the first console, on the PS1, sitting there and enjoying this game for the first time. There are a lot of surprises that they don't want to ruin, and I completely get that. Yeah. And I feel that when this game comes out, there's going to be a lot of stuff that are going to like make fans incredibly happy. Like I was blown away by it. Like genuinely, it doesn't take a lot for me to be like that impressed. Like the only other game I can think of whilst being at a preview event and thinking this is going to be incredible is Shadow of War. Like there've been other games that I've think, oh, that looks good, I can't wait to play, but Shadow of War blew me away and this blew me away. So I feel like when this game comes out, it's going to be something incredibly special.
If there is a chain reaction of people who are playing this for the first time, and those people start coming out saying that the characters are shit and the main story is just not all that, I am getting a one-way ticket to the moon and I'm not coming back.
I'm going to fucking...
I'm going to
hunt them down, mate, via like Jay and Silent Bob. I'm going to find where they live and I'm going to smack them in the face.
That was something weirdly talking about that scene last night with a friend. That's so fucking weird. That is so weird.
What's really, truly weird is the thought that when people can listen to this podcast, this game's out a month from now.
I know.
Oh, God. Man. Like, yeah. This.
I'm going to be sitting in Animal Crossing land.
And if they are saying, it's just like Final Fantasy 15, they can fuck off. Because I like you two, I gave it an 8. I enjoyed it.
I did as well. I freelanced it. I think I give it 4 stars.
Affected me quite a bit, but that looked amazing. The characters were all right. Like they're a bit emo, but whatever. I there was a lot about that game that I enjoyed, and I remember when we watched that Kingsglaive. That was incredible.
That was good looking stuff.
So anyone that compares it to that, then fine. But I think this has gone
in terms of characters and story.
These characters are, and it's not holding on to the past. Like I'm not one of those.
The thing is, man, Final Fantasy VII is emo. It is, but it was our emo when we were kids, and that's why it is nostalgia. But that is why with giving them voices, they can shape it a little bit more differently, because they never had voices. They never had emotion in their voices. The emotion was in the script, in the scenes. They never had, you know.
Yeah, and...
God.
Fucking hell.
It's exciting. You know what?
People moan. I don't care. I'm going to get to play it.
It will just be very, very, very disheartening to see people like... Hey, look, it mightn't even happen. We're saying stuff
happen.
That's not
I'm
even happening
now.
But
it will happen.
This is the internet. Just,
but I don't care, because I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime.
Mm.
And nobody can take that
from
me.
Did you really would like before seeing any of this? Ed, actually, have you thought about this? Like, have you went? I would really take a remake of this, because Nine is my favorite Final Fantasy game, and I don't want to see a remake of that game, if I'm honest.
I mean, I never was one of these that was actively campaigning for it, because often when you get your remakes, they don't live up to it. It's I always say this, it's the Chinese democracy, Guns N' Roses thing. Like, it can never be as good as it should be in your head because of how long it took. Mm. But you know what, Chinese democracy, when you listen to it, it's actually a good album. It's not Appetite for Destruction. It's not Use Your Illusion. It's not even Lies. It's a good album, though. It's a good album, and that's if that's what Final Fantasy VII Remake ends up for me, I'll be more than happy. Will it be my game of the year? I doubt it. I suspect I will be playing through it just the warm blanket of nostalgia. It's remaking this game to look how it looks in your mind's eye, how you think it looked back then, because it did look amazing back then. Mm. But yeah, I say in a month it will be out, and you can go to our YouTube channel, just search God is a Geek on YouTube, and you'll find our video preview. We might do some more stuff with it. We got, like I say, like a good hour of footage, and probably some more still to come. Just stay tuned, I would say. I want to quickly talk about Overpass, if that's all right with you guys.
Yeah.
I was quite excited for this game. It's a racing game. The thing about racing games is that they kind of fall into two categories, and then there's small subsets within them, but you generally know what you're getting. Like, if I said to you, oh, Forza 8's been announced tomorrow, you know what kind of game that is going to be. If Forza Horizon 5 or Burnout Paradise 2 got announced, you know what kind of game that's going to be. Mario Kart. So Overpass is not like any of them, because although it's a racing game and there is a timer and you're trying to get the best time, it's... So, do any of you guys know the game Bennett Foddy's Getting Over It?
No.
No.
It's a 2D indie game where there's a guy, I'm sure you've seen it, it's a guy, he's sort of stuck in a cauldron, and he's got a hammer, a big hammer that you can control with the mouse, and you sort of have to climb this puzzle. Like, you're using the hammer to sort of climb up by hooking onto stuff.
Okay.
No? No one?
No.
Not ringing a bell right now.
Okay. Well, okay, that's no good then. But it's like that combined with Trials, where on the really hard Trials courses where you have to constantly move your bike with physics to get up things, and your the inertia of your speed changes how you hit stuff, and if you hit at the wrong speed and the wrong angle, you fail, don't you? It's that kind of game. You're in like ATVs and UTVs, and you're driving up dirt tracks and over tires, and it's deliberately designed to be like a like a Trials game. Like, the problem is, it's not very good. Oh. Like, it's not awful, but it's not great. It nothing about it felt right to me. Like, I don't feel like I was quite armed with the tools to understand. Like, there'd be a moment where you drive up a hill and you approach it at good speed, but because you're going up a hill and it's a dirt track and it's wet underneath, you just lose traction and you start, you're sort of going up the hill slower and slower and slower and slower until you're just going backwards down the hill, and you attempt it four more times and you get up there the fifth time, but you don't really know what you did differently. You can change the differential drivetrain and all this stuff, and you can change from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive, and you can do all that, and you're supposed to just adjust one of them and you should be able to get up the hill, but it doesn't work this time and it didn't work next time, and there's no, I just don't understand quite all the, and getting stuck in a game like that, it's a run killer, isn't it? If the idea is to, go round three laps and get the best time, you can't do that. You've got to start it again. You're done. And
is it like it just... Trials visually, like left to right, or is it like
no? It's a 3D racing game, it's a racing game as you would expect, like a full on racing game. You are driving over, rocks and tires and through holes and up hills around the jungle and the desert, all these different courses, and again, it's not awful, but it's just kind of annoying, and not in a way of like not in the way that Trials is annoying or frustrating, in that there's a learning curve and it eventually gets quite steep, but you feel like you've earned it. It's just a frustrating game. And I will say as well, I played it on PS4 Slim. Game runs like shit. Like I normally play on a PS4 Pro. Just circumstances meant I was playing on a Slim. And like, if this is an indication of how games run on the non-Pro consoles now, like, wow. Maybe we do need a new baseline of consoles, because it's not good enough to see a game running like this in especially when you're used to the Pro or the X. It's not awful. I was quite looking forward to it, because it seemed like, oh, this is something different. Like, it reminded me of when Blur and Split Second come out, and they were just something different in that genre. And this is different, but it's just not very fun. Bit of a shame.
Balls.
But that's pretty much all I've played this week. I don't know, Ad, have you been playing anything?
As this is up, I think the deal is over, but I did end up picking up Doom 1, 2, and 3 on the Switch for a total of €5, which is insane. Just madness. So I ended up diving back into playing a bit of Doom 1993. And it's been a long time since I played this Doom. And, you know, you play some of these kind of games thinking, like, oh, I'll jump in and it'll be fun for like, a bit. You know, like, not to shit on, like, what is a classic game. But, you know, sometimes you go back to classic games and you go, oh, it's just so much fun. And you play it for a few hours and then that's it. You never go back. I have found myself playing this port on the Switch quite a bit. Doom 93 is still fantastic.
I played it recently. Man, that game holds up well.
It holds up extremely well. It runs incredibly well on the Switch. And I know some people probably think, yeah, but it's Doom. It doesn't take much to run that well. But, you know, there has been certain ports and they haven't been great. There's been a couple of sound issues in certain ports that have come out. But it's been quite some time since I truly dived into it. And my, oh my, it's amazing. It's just an amazing game. It still has, even now in like 2020, like playing something like Doom and it feeling, it doesn't feel like a game that has just come out, obviously, but it's like, if somebody did drop this game, and I've just made this game, I'd be like, wow, this is amazing. This is like the design of the game, the speed, like you kind of forget that, like, when did the last Doom come out? 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
2016.
Like, when we all played that, there was a part of me anyway where I went, fuck, Doom is fast. Like, has it always been this fast? And no, that one is very fast, especially when you put up the highest difficulty, whatever. But, you know, the 93 Doom, it keeps you on your toes. Like, you're still going quickly.
It's still quite hard.
Yeah, it's still hard and there's still a lot going on. All the secrets that you discover are amazing. The enemy design is amazing. I still absolutely love that you cannot point the gun up and down. Like, I just think it just has this amazing charm where it's like, this is just Doom. Like, only Doom can have this thing where you can kill an enemy from up above by shooting straight ahead. Do you know what I mean? Things like that. The music is like just amazing. Like, just incredible. Loving it so much. For that alone, I think I paid €1.20. Like, I think that's like just, it's crazy. Like, that you can pay that much for a game like this, you know. I would just, like, everyone should just play this. Play Doom 2, play Doom 3. I've played a lot of Doom 3 back in the day. I know that very well. That's actually it's a lot different. It's just way scarier for some reason. So I've played that, and I've played a ton of Team Sonic Racing. I got this game when it first came out, and I didn't give it enough time because I fell into that situation where you get a kart game and you instantly start comparing it to Mario Kart and it doesn't immediately click, so you just kind of go, oh, I'm not really that gone in it. It's just, everything is daunting. You're looking at the tracks, you're looking at the speed, you're looking at the weapons, you're looking at the layout. Everything is just taken into account because you've played so much of Mario Kart. But I've dived into Team Sonic Racing. It is fantastic. It is insanely fast. Like, the speed that you get in this game. And that works so well within the track's design, because a lot of the tracks, I feel like, with its drifting and stuff in Team Sonic, is it's very forgiving. I always feel like, you know, when you look at Mario Kart and when you look at Crash Team Racing, the drifting is insanely important, obviously. It's still important in this, but you can, it's just more forgiving because the tracks are wider, there's longer, like, straight, like, runs on each track and stuff, so the momentum that you build really feels like it's paying off. And when you're working together as the team, which you really have to do in order to win, and there's a lot of challenges and stuff, like winning as a team, so the three of you have to work together. And by working together, I mean, like, there's a couple of occasions where you know, somebody might be, one of your teammates might be in 12th, and you and your other teammate are first and second. So what you should start doing is, when you get your certain items, is you press circle to give the item back to your teammate. and they can take it. And what's so rewarding about this is when they receive this item from you, like you can give them a missile or a boost or whatever, you see them going from 12th and just going straight up and catching up to you very quickly. And I think taking those things into account is really satisfying to watch. But I love the fact that the game is so goddamn fast that it lets you do these decisions, because it, going back to basically the track designs, they're just so well done that it gives you enough time to kind of think about it. I will say, like, Jesus Christ, why can't they make Sonic sound good? Like, what is up with these games coming out and the voice acting being so bad? Like, the voice acting and the story. Like, I know, we're not in here for a nail-biter of a story. I get it. But, like, the characters and the voice acting.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's bad, man. It's kind of like, you would nearly feel like they went out of their way to make it this bad. Like, there's one character, I cannot remember what it is, but there's a certain character called Dodonpa. And I mean, there's one character and he just goes, Dodonpa. Like, that's exactly how he says it. And you're just like, and I mean, he'll say it in one whole phrase and you're just like, he's like, Dodonpa came at me and Dodonpa. And you're just like, Jesus Christ. And you just end up skipping the whole thing because, like, I don't understand why they can't make it, like, don't put in voice acting. Just don't put it in if it's going to be this bad first off. Just give me text. I'll be happy with that. And I'll just read it quickly and get through it. But why can't they do it? Mm. Like, it's a very unusual thing. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those criticisms that I feel like you can... A lot of people will say, oh, but that's not what it's about. But at the end of the day, then why is it there? Like, why is this cheesy, like, dialogue in there with these, like, bad voice acting for these characters? Because Sonic and Tails, like, Tails is an absolute goober. Like, you're just like, every time he pops in, he's like, wow, Sonic! And you're just like, go away, Tails. You're doing just nothing. Go away. Like, even though I actually always play as Tails.
Same.
Which is, I always do play as him.
Tails is my guy.
Yeah, but, like, as an acting, as a voice acting kind of situation in a character, it's not the one. But look, there's a lot to upgrade here. It's pretty challenging. Like a lot of the NPCs are right on you. Not so much as like the rubber banding is. It doesn't really exist. But you are having to focus a lot on your slipstream and stuff like that. And that slipstream thing is actually really cool because whoever's in first in your team is the only person that has it. And it's a big yellow slipstream. And if you stay in it, you just constantly are going at it like a really fast pace. But then it tells you to kind of like come out of that slipstream because you'll get a really fast boost. And then you can go back into the slipstream. So it's constantly like doing this. It's almost like you're catapulting each other forward all the time. And when you keep that momentum going, it's incredibly rewarding. On top of all that, The length of each race is mental. Like, you can be racing for nearly 6 to 7 minutes. Like, three laps. And that's kind of crazy. Because you feel like in like the first lap, you're going, oh, we're doing terrible. And you're like, you just realise, this is only lap one, though. And the whole thing can change.
What are you playing on, by the way?
What's that?
What format are you playing on?
PS4.
Okay.
No, I have heard that it's good as well on Xbox One, and the Switch port is apparently really good.
Yeah, Switch version is like 30 frames, but that's...
Yeah.
It's all right.
I gotta say, now there is a couple of frame rate issues even on PS4. As I said, the speed that it is going, it just doesn't... It can't hold it all the time. Now, it's not the worst. It doesn't come... Like, in one race, it might happen once, and that's it. But you do see it. It's just another good racing game. I don't know if I'd call it a kart game because they're not really in karts. They're like, there is cars and stuff like that, but it's definitely worth people's time. Like, I did love the one before All Stars Transformed, I think that was called. It was like the first one I played in the Wii U, and I remember loving that straight away. Team Sonic didn't do that immediately, but I'm glad I've gone back to it. And if people have like played it and felt the same way, I just recommend going back there. It's one of those ones that I'm playing a lot with friends at the moment, and seriously, seriously good fun. And I think it's like on sale. It's pretty cheap at the moment anyway, so definitely worth a purchase. It's like the last two Sonic games I've played now, which is this and Sonic Mania, have just been fantastic. So, and I've just seen that
Sonic Generation is not like a Games with Gold game or something. That was a good game, Sonic, by the way.
Yeah, that's there. And just for PS Plus as well, it's been announced that like Sonic Forces is there. I don't know what that's like.
Not very good. Yeah, it's not very
there
good.
We have it.
he's right.
I'm not going to get a hat trick then.
No, I mean, it's worth playing. No, it's not. I don't know why I said that. It's not.
I'll tell you what's worth playing,
to be a completionist, but it's not. It's not worth playing. It's a bad game.
I know we don't talk about news much, but Shadow of the Colossus got fucking put into that list. And if people haven't played that game, oh my God.
Yeah, like, that is worth playing.
That is worth playing. But yeah, Team Sonic Racing, really enjoyable. I love these kind of games. I just think they're fantastic. So that's kind of all, really, because look, we're in a weird time. We just want all the new games now. That's
yeah,
it, you know?
We've waited. We've been patient games, people.
It's brutal because I don't know about you guys, but I have a couple of games there, but all the games
mate.
I have, all the games I have are like 60, 70 hour like JRPG games, and I'm like, oh, if I get stuck into this now, by the time the likes of Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal come around, I'm not going to be finished this, and it's going to be one of those things that like, yeah, I put 30, 40 hours in and never went back to it, and that will kill me. I hate when that happens, so yep. I think I'm just going to have to just wait it out now for the likes of Animal Crossing.
Chris, have you, you know, obviously Final Fantasy and travelling has been on your agenda. Anything else?
Yeah, I'd just like to quickly talk about a game called Bloodroots that I played on the Switch. It's also available
on... Yeah, you mentioned
on,
the preview version.
Yeah, it's also on PS4, I believe, Xbox, PC. But it's, yeah, so I'll just explain a little bit more. So it's a game very much like Hotline Miami, but set in the Wild West. So if you like the sound of that, then yeah, I think you'll love this. Except the movement's a lot faster. The weapons at your disposal not only help batter the shit out of your enemies, but also help you get around the environment. So certain like weapons like the sword, you can dash through the air. So if you jump and use the sword, it'll make you jump across platforms. There's ladders. There's like huge oars, which act as like a pole vault. Then you've got like... plastic flamingos, buckets, cabbages, like fish. You could use pretty much anything, and you could use them to beat your enemy. So it's like a one-shot kind of kill or a one-hit kind of kill. If someone hits you, you're dead. But if you hit them, they're dead, and you have to clear the areas until you can move on to the next one. It's just a really easy, accessible game. It's difficult at times. More so, like, certain areas are ridiculous. But on the whole, like, it's a really good game. So I think if you're looking for some quick fix to fit in between the big releases, then give Bloodroots a go.
It's like, you know, I don't know if we'll cover this game more, but I played a game on the Epic Games Store called Foregone. You know, as in Foregone Conclusion. And well, I watched the trailer and it looked really up my street, but. I'll be honest with you, the initial impressions, and I'm going to play more, but initial impressions are it looks and plays like Dead Cells, like really plays like Dead Cells, even looks like it, but it's just not as good. Like, and I don't know if that's okay. I mean, but then what is? Like, I was thinking about Dead Cells the other day because obviously the DLC was announced, released.
Is that out?
Yeah, it's only a fiver, by the way, so it's well worth.
What?
Cause, yeah, I know. But well, I say it's well worth it. I haven't played it, but I was thinking about Dead Cells because, you know, I think Dead Cells. In time, might make my top 10 of all time games. That game's incredible. Like, that is one of the most responsive feeling games I've ever played. You know, when you think, because again, I don't know what, because there's not been much I've been playing, I've been doing a lot of thinking. You know, with Platinum announcing their new game that looks like a sequel or prequel to Beautiful Joe, I was thinking about like the Bayonetta 3, I was thinking about Devil May Cry 5 and Devil May Cry 3 because it came out on Switch. And I was thinking about how come. Like, Metroidvanias, there's loads of them now, right? There's all these games being made all the time, but it's just Bayonetta and Devil May Cry in that genre, isn't it? Like, am I missing a really... Astral Chain, but same developer.
Yeah.
There's not... I feel like that genre has been replaced by the Souls-like genre. And I kind of miss those games where, like, Devil May Cry, if you want to whack it on hard, you've got that really hard thing. But I miss those games regularly coming out. Anyway, that's just, you know, Adam's thought of the week. Christopher Love at Deadbeat Punk. We've been saving this question for a few weeks. This is listener correspondence time. He wants us to say a phrase in an authentic Irish accent. Now,
holy smokes.
In honesty, I can't even phonetically say this. But I know what it means.
You know what it means?
Yeah, it's the, I guess, the Irish saying equivalent of mutton dressed as lamb, isn't it? You can put silk on a goat, but it's still a goat.
Yeah, put silk on a goat, but still a goat.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
You are actually Irish.
Yes, but there's a thing here.
You don't speak the language, do you? This is what you're going to say.
This is the situation, yeah. And a lot of...
At all?
I don't know, really. No, like we'd every person would have had to do Irish in school.
Yes.
There is dedicated Irish schools called Gaelscoil, and like the likes of my niece... Slower
first, please.
Gaelscoil.
Okay, and what does that mean? Sorry,
it's an Irish school, and all.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, carry on.
So, like, but the likes of my niece and nephew go there, and like when they go to school, everything is spoken in Irish.
Right.
That's just the way it is. I didn't go to a school like that, and I know there's like it's so weird because, like, a lot of people would probably consider Irish people to just speak Irish or know it full on. Like, you
well,
know,
well, I don't know though, because I don't assume someone who's Welsh speaks Welsh. Chris, what do you think? Go on, Chris.
No, I wouldn't say so. Just because you're from a certain area.
See, the thing that's colouring my opinion here a little bit is that obviously you and I, Adam, have a mutual friend
yes.
who is also Irish, who also lives in the same town as you, who I happen to know does speak some Irish.
He'd be the man, no, to answer this question.
So why, were you, I thought I was, you know, we won't get into exact details, but I always thought you two were literally brought up in the same town.
Same town, yeah, exactly.
So how
town.
Come he's...
Well, he just probably gave a shit more.
Yeah, but that's not what he'd love, you wouldn't want people thinking he cared. If you're listening, hello, by the way. Can you at least, could you try it for us? Because if Chris or I do this, it is going to veer into insulting.
Well,
I don't know how to pronounce a single one of those words.
Give it a go first, because like I'm going to be the exact same. I would probably be able to kind of go down the lines of the pronunciation.
So I might have to do it in the kind of hello there, that kind well, of you, can, you know. Well, that's that.
Well,
wasn't
if you want to, that's going to make it harder for yourself. But go ahead.
Oh, Adam, hello there. Now I've got all West Country. This why
you sound like you're trying to spit.
Hang on.
Hacking up phlegm.
And what about if I go up high like that? Would that be right if I go up a little high like that? Would that be okay? Queer so by El Garach. No, I lost it halfway through, didn't I? I got about halfway through it, and I don't even know if it was right, but it's just a lot of letters. Hang on. Do you think how was the accent to start with a bit higher up? All right, Adam, how's it when I'm up here a little bit right when I'm a bit higher up like that?
Yeah. There's actually someone I know that talks like that.
Hello, Ted.
There is that.
Do you know the way there is that generic? There is that Irish accent.
That is the generic one. Yeah.
Like some people might think I sound like that. I don't think I do. I do meet people in Ireland who do sound like that. I'm like, fucking hell, you're that person, like Jesus.
See, I don't think I could. If I were to take that Irish accent up there and go down there and I like that sounds a little bit better. Well, is that a bit better or a little bit worse? I don't know.
You're kind of going a bit northern there. It's like you started better. Off at the bottom and you started going
like
up.
That. It's not so bad if you go up high like that. Yes, I sound like I'm doing a sort of, I'm not going to say it, but you know what it sounds like.
Don't say it.
You know, I sound like I'm an extra in Team America. I think that's as good as I'm going to get. I will have one more go, but...
Just, even if you were to pronounce it, just pronounce the words
in an
individually
accent,
and see
as...
how you go. Just leave out the accent. Just what way would you kind of see those
queer
words?
Queer shoda ar gabha ach is gabha ich ganai a...
Cuirshida ar gavar. Ar gavar. Ach is gavar.
No, I'm sorry. There's no V in that G lit word. There's no V
that's
there.
That's like kind of Siobhan. The thing, though. That's
Siobhan.
So is B and a B and a H a V?
Not really, but I just know, I just would, like, go over, I just feel like this is the thing. See, this is the thing.
So would this be, this? So the Irish language, would it be like brutally hard for someone like me to learn? I mean, it would be, sounds like it would be hard for you to learn, but would it be like brutally hard for me to learn?
It's absolutely not, like, it wouldn't be, but like it is. It is a kind of like a joke amongst people. Well, it's not a joke that we all laugh at, but you know, like there is certain there's certain situations where we all like, it's fucking desperate that we don't all really speak Irish or can just rattle off stuff. We have the basic stuff like Conestatu and things like those generic things, like, you know, but like those kind of sentences are like, I don't know. Like there was recently, actually, this is quite funny. Recently in work, I was there and a customer came up and asked me for something in Irish, because this particular person was an Irish teacher.
But that's kind of a dick move, isn't it?
Yeah, it fucking was, because I looked at it and I went, that's a dick move.
That is like a dick move, isn't it?
Because I was in no form, and it was like it was like 9:30 in the morning, and I just looked straight in the eyes of this person. I went, what? And they just went, oh, sorry. And I was like, god, fuck off.
Coffee, please.
Yeah, exactly.
And not even it was just an Americano.
Yeah. That's what I heard, yeah. Lord of Irish and Americano. Perfect.
Before we move on, unless Chris wants to go. Do you want to go, Chris?
I'll butcher it.
Could you, Adam, tell us how to pronounce... There's one I have to know. The G-C-O-N-A-I. How is that pronounced? Oh. Do you know? I just want to know what it sounds
Guacnoi,
like.
Guacnoi? Guacnoi? Guacnoi. But then you see it would rattle off into that last little E there as well.
Is that A and E? Sorry, is that E and A? Does that sound like A? Yeah. It is. So that E
The E with the fada.
Yeah. With the what? Is that what that's called?
That's what that's called, yeah, fada.
Right. I think we move on. This is one I'm going to ask you, Adam, and actually it's one for both of you more than it is for me, but Thomas at Llama Fluff 42 says, we've had Detective Pikachu and now Sonic, and I still am planning to see Sonic, and when I do, we can have a good old chinwag at the cinema. Both video games. Other than the forthcoming Mario movie, which I'd forgotten, what video game would you like to see in film? Not Shenmue, because nothing happens and it never ends. What video game movie... I can say, is it the obvious one? I don't know. I'd quite like a Bioshock movie. The first game.
Was that not rumoured?
I believe it was at one point, but you know, lean into the kind of horror. Like, you think about that opening of the game when you go down in the bathosphere and it's got the, I forget what they're called, but the guy crawling on the ceiling. Like, I can imagine a kind of almost gothic-y horror take on that. Like, that could be really actually genuinely good. And they'd also be able to put an ending that
there
the game never
was
had.
A Bioshock movie, weren't there?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Gore Verbinski nearly made it.
Was it? I couldn't remember if that was real or not.
Yeah, they released concept art for it and it looked amazing.
I mean, they're making a Borderlands movie apparently. So
they are, yeah.
With Eli Roth, yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, would it be obvious to say Yakuza?
Oh, don't. But that was mine. They've made like a crappy version, like a live action.
Yeah.
But not a proper... I'd love that.
More then. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh yeah,
I mean every
that
any
would
game
be,
question
that would
I
be
get
big
asked.
Budget.
Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, big time. What about you?
You wouldn't need big budget for this. Well, maybe, I don't know, but not Bubsy. Essential. But I would love to see a Shadow of the Damned movie, because I thought Garcia was fucking hilarious, and there's a lot of great lines in that, to the point where if that movie got done, there would be potential for him to become like an Ash Williams kind of thing from Evil Dead and stuff. So like there could be that kind of slapstick humor. So that'd be one. And do you know what would be a pretty cool one, considering it just came out now? And I actually played this as well. I didn't talk about it, but because I know Chris, you reviewed it and stuff. But Vanquish, right? No, whatever about story, right? If you put it up, but wouldn't it look pretty cool?
Yeah.
If they nailed a Vanquish movie,
like just sort of Starship Troopers, but less bugs and more mechs, and
yeah, and just the sliding and just the action scenes would be off the chart, I'd say. So that'd be pretty cool. Bayonetta would be good too, actually. To be honest, any platinum game.
I did have to do a lot to get that past the ratings boards. Personified.
Yeah.
Bubsy. Cool spot. Chris, Zool. Have you got any, or should we go to the next? Zool. There, done
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Zool.
Last week. Oh, go on, sorry.
No,
go on, you
no
got some.
I've got one because I love it. It's a great horror game that came out years ago on the PC, and they kind of re-released it as a HD. But it's a game called Pathologic. And that'd make a really good horror game, because it's kind of got a Silent Hill vibe, but it's amazing. So good at like low budget horror. But yeah,
I'd be honest, mate. I mean, this is tangent slightly. I am, and we won't. Well, yeah, we'll move on to the next question. But genuinely, I am quite looking forward to that Resident Evil Netflix thing, because I trust Netflix with at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
Last week was Pancake Week. What did you have with yours, Christopher?
I only had 3 small pancakes, and they didn't have 2. Anything on them.
Wow. Well, now, I just want to clarify this, by the way. These are the bigger, very wafer-thin pancakes, right?
Yeah.
I've heard people sort of go, oh, yeah, they're those little fluffy ones. No.
No, they're not pancakes.
That is the American-style thing you have for breakfast with bacon and maple syrup.
Yeah.
Adam Carroll, what did you have with your pancakes?
I'm sorry to disappoint. I didn't eat one.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to be controversial. I think they're overrated.
Yeah.
I would rather have the fluffy ones and have them at breakfast with maple syrup and bacon. I had 2 pancakes with Nutella in them, but that... Yeah.
Can I just quickly say there, look, and I know we're talking about food, which is a prime opportunity for everyone to
check out. There's another one coming up. There's another one coming up. I'm saving
All right. Then look, we'll say it again. Fork off. Yeah. But anyway, right? The bacon and the pancake combo.
Yeah.
Is that actually good?
Mate, oh, it's incredible.
Are people having me?
No, it's incredible. But it has to be streaky bacon. Yep. You can't slap a big old bit of bacon medallion. It has to be streaky bacon, cooked quite...
But how
quite,
does the combo work, like, the flavour?
It's just...
Like, how does it work?
It's Well, it's sweet, isn't it? Like, the maple syrup on top of it makes it sweet.
Right, okay. In fact, I had it this morning.
I wish I had, Chris. I had crumpets.
I live in
That's so English, isn't it? I had crumpets.
I live in like the centre of Derby, so it's like a 10-minute walk away. So I know there's people from Derby that listen to this podcast. Stand in order. They do like American breakfast. And
we went out
American breakfast. Ooh. They do 2 hash browns, 2 sausages, 2 eggs. And then pancakes and bacon stacked with maple syrup.
Oh, my God, you're having them both. You're having it all. Of course you're having it all.
I have
you
it
can't
all,
do
mate.
That. That's illegal. You can have your cooked breakfast, but you can't have both. You can't have it all, Chris.
I have both, mate. I have it all.
I've never done that.
Oh, it's good.
Thomas wants to know, you are in the mood to play a game, but you are blocked by another weighty update, so you don't bother. Can you relate to this scenario, and is it likely to be better or worse in the next gen? I think we're all familiar with it. I'm fortunate enough that I finally got really good internet in my area. Chris, you're also on the same Virgin connection. So I don't...
Yep.
You still have to update it, but usually they're pretty quick for me. What I will say is...
No, go on. I was going to say...
I know what you're going to say.
If you set it to have it do it when you're in like rest mode, then it's not a problem.
So it doesn't always work because...
Right, okay.
That is... So the way Sony's set up is only certain updates come. Xbox is good for this, by the way. PS4 is not so good because it's only certain types of updates. Call of Duty is... So, for example, Call of Duty, you'll have a client update, which will be like 80 gig and it downloads the client. But then when you boot the game and choose the multiplayer, you'll have a multiplayer update. That's because that game is segmented into single player, multiplayer. You know, it is properly segmented this year. It will get better, and the reason it'll get better is because I personally believe... Well, I've got to be careful, because I have... There's a lot of what was suggested to happen in this generation of games is what's going to happen in the next generation of games. So you are going to be able to choose which part of a game you download first, I suspect. I think you will. So therefore, it will get better, because... The games will be broken up into that thing. Like, you, if you're not fussed, like, they've just added something in the Xbox dashboard that I think is now live for all, but it was in the alpha program, right? There is actually a section where you can It looks like it's designed. I'm slightly concerned the Series X is going to have the same dashboard because it looks like they're starting to design towards it. There are some, like, there's like clear up sections of the dashboard where you can delete old things. Like, you might have deleted Game X, but for some reason, the Game X's DLC is still installed, so you can free up space. And there are sections where it looks like you can segment games. So, like, you know, Call of Duty's multiplayer, you know, Kill Zones, you know, whatever, like, you know, well, not on Xbox. So I think it's going to get better. I just hope that's not all that gets better. But yeah. G-Town Steve wants to know from Discord. In the pre-Netflix Game Pass subscription service Age of Entertainment, what games and movies did you hammer into the ground as you knew you'd only get one new game next birthday? For him, it was a DVD of Fight Club and a demo of Tony Hawk's 2 from an official PlayStation magazine. What did you, Adam Carroll, squeeze every last drop of entertainment from?
In terms of games, I think everyone went through that Tony Hawk 2 demo. I also had Metal Gear, the Metal Gear Solid demo, and I used to play the game. The two games I used to play so much of were the first Siphon Filter. Oh. I used to play that game to absolute death. I just found it so good, like the way it was. And what was the other one? What was the other one I had? Dino Crisis 2?
Oh.
Dino Crisis 2, because I think I remember just being so into the fact of like it being so action-packed and fast. And then when it comes to movies, it was totally polar opposite, but it was Friday the 13th and then Disney, the Aristocats.
Fair play. Chris?
Game-wise, I can't really think. I played pretty much anything I could get hold of. But film-wise, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Obsessed with that film. I must have watched it 100 times when it was out. And like I remember before like an age of Spotify and YouTube and even the internet, I used to sit by with my cassette recorder and record all the music from it. And the bit at the end where they sing God Give Rock and Roll to You, but there's like a Steve Vai guitar solo that Keanu Reeves imitates.
Yeah.
It's one of the best guitar solos I've ever heard in my life. And I remember just trying to record that so I could listen to that relentlessly. So even when I wasn't watching the film, I was listening to that. So yeah, that film, amazing.
No question. Film-wise, for me, it would have been any of the Die Hard films, because I guess I'm the oldest one, am I? So I'm picking an old film, but I love them films. Game-wise, it'd be Final Fantasy VII. Yeah. Like I just played it over and over and over again, and I would feel like I'd done enough of it in that world even after I'd finished it and had a go at the weapons, and I just start it again and I just start it again and again and again. And then I did the same with Final Fantasy VIII, which is another great game. G-Town Steve also asks, as we stand on the brink of next-gen consoles, Sega announced a new return to hardware. Dreamcast 2 is here. What do you want from this new console that Microsoft and Sony just aren't offering?
It's a go-away.
I'm kind of with you because I feel like everything Sorry. That they don't do, Nintendo Switch does.
Yeah, I don't need another console.
No.
I'm quite happy with the ones I've got. And Same. I don't think they can do anything new or different with the budget they have that Nintendo aren't nailing at the minute. Mm. So,
yeah,
I won't be bothered.
No, I can't add anything else, Adam.
No, I'm the exact same.
G-Town Steve's last question then, we can't answer. And I'm sorry about that, Steve. Cheddar, Stilton, Brie or Goat? What cheese is king? Can't answer that.
I can definitely answer that.
No, you can't.
I can definitely
you
answer
You can't
that.
Because there is a I'm podcast sure called can. Fork Off that is of a course, Patreon Adam. Exclusive podcast. For $5 a month, we give you extra content. This podcast early, competition drops. The podcast okay, Fork Off is a fortnightly pod. There are different tiers. One of them will get you videos as well. And we talk about food on that. We rank food. And Brie has been ranked. So we can't talk about it here.
Will I tell him where it is?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
That's Positive? It. Just a teaser?
Adam, shosh.
All right.
Patreon.com/ God is a gink. God is a gink. God is a gink. I've never said that. I'm not editing it. Patreon.com/ God is a geek. One word, that is our Patreon page. You can see the tiers and see what you think. Have a look. Thomas at LlamaFluff42. 2020 looks a bit barren for Switch releases, but naturally Nintendo will have stuff under wraps. What are your predictions? Mario 3D World this year, surely, Adam Carroll?
Yes. I'm not too sure. I'm still banking on the Metroid Prime trilogy coming
That'll
out.
That'll be this year.
And I would like to see... I would like to see them just be confident to release Skyward Sword again. But we'd probably get Wind Waker more so than that.
I think Mario 3D World, but I think quite late this year. I think Metroid Prime Trilogy, I think, will happen. I think there's going to be a game that we don't see coming.
Which would be... like
Mario Galaxy 3.
No.
Oh, dude, if I tell you, if that happened, I think I'd just fall. Like,
I don't think we're going to get an Odyssey 2 yet. And I don't think the new Zelda's this year. I do think it's going to be a quiet first part of year for them because they do that. They go massive, calm down. Next year will be big. Next year we'll get the new Zelda. I reckon the new Mario as well.
I'd like a new Mario Kart.
Yeah, I'd like next year, I reckon. Kurt Lewin at @angry_Kurt actually replies to Thomas with his own question. Chris, would you be disappointed if they announced 3D World for this year and some other remake, but no new games? He says, I'd love 3D World. I'm not sure I'd buy it again. It's great for people who didn't have a Wii U. So what we've just talked about, you know, like a 3D World and, you know, Metroid Trilogy, would you be disappointed or would you be all right?
No, I'd be quite happy with it. There's still games that I haven't played from last year. Like I've not touched Pokemon. So I've still got that. There's, you know, I'll be happy with it. No, I'll be happy to play it.
You've got to remember as well, they will release that Pokemon DLC and they'll treat that almost like a new release.
Yeah.
Stick with you for this, Chris. You're being good, but you still want crisps. Which are the not too bad for you crisps do you pick? Squares, Quavers, Snacker Jacks, those funny lentil crisp things, or other, Chris?
Where would a mini cheddar fall under this category? Is that a bad crisp?
I think they're all
probably
right.
Probably a bad crisp.
No, they're all right. Then they're not too bad for you. They're reasonably... but they are less bad, I believe.
I would.
They're baked, aren't they?
Nail a bag of mini cheddars.
Would you go cheddar, the normal standard flavour, or would you go for a prawn cocktail or barbecue?
I quite
beef?
Like barbecue beef flavour.
Yeah. Cheese and onion ones?
Cheese and onion, good. To be fair, any cheddar is a good cheddar.
Yeah.
Quote.
Adam, what would you go for?
I do love salt and vinegar Snacker Jacks, if I'm honest.
Okay.
But I probably pick Quavers. When I get a packet of Quavers, I eat them extremely fast. Like, I just can't.
I'm like that with Watsits.
Do you know? I don't know. And they're controversial for a lot of people, those kind of flavoured cheesy crisps. But, they taste better than they smell, I tell you that much.
I'm going to... What, Chris, what do you think I'm going to pick?
Roast beef Monster Munch.
Good shout, but they weren't on this list, although I would definitely recommend a pickled onion or flaming hot Monster Munch. Those two are very, very good crisps. Adam, what did you just say then, though? What did you pick?
Squares.
Would you like to even go and suggest a flavour of them?
Jesus, I don't even know what flavours exist. But hang on. Are you picking... like, we're kind of going off the beaten track here a small bit. We're supposed to be picking the not-too-bad crisps, and you're going on about flame-grilled steak and all these kind of sorts.
No, I said flame-grilled flaming hot Monster Munch.
They're not good for you.
Well, none of them are good for you.
But this is the point of the question.
But you've already answered it for me, and you were correct. It's squares.
Salt
and vinegar squares. And I'm going to just say this.
Jeez.
They are one of my favourite crisps.
I've never had them.
They are the last of the... So once upon a time, when squares weren't owned by Walkers, I don't believe. I think they were Golden Wonder squares. Golden Wonder's a brand for you. Back when Golden Wonder were around and salt and vinegar was blue and cheese and onion was green. Remember that? Actually, Adam, you probably won't now I think about it. Chris, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I'll remember.
Yeah, and then Walkers came and dominated and now cheese and onion's blue and salt and vinegar's green. Once upon a time, there was the Crisp Wars where those two were fighting and they were opposing colours. Quite poetic in its way. But squares are the last of those left that have a strong flavour still. Like Walkers, they're fine. I would not turn down a Walkers pack of crisps. But squares still have the punch of like a roast. And the cheese and onion ones are also very cheesy and oniony. But squares are still a good, strong-flavoured crisp. very much love squares, salt and vinegar squares.
Do you know, I actually was in the middle of sending this to you the other day, but I got distracted. But do you know what flavour, do you know, like you have Walker's, cheese and onion, right? In Ireland, there's Tato's, cheese and onion, right? Tato's is the crisp of Ireland.
Like in the same way that Lay's are the Walker's of Spain.
Yes,
or...
exactly. Tato have released a brand new flavour, and I couldn't believe what it was. They have released bacon and cabbage.
Right.
Like, I don't know now about that, if I am honest. Like, do you know, like, it's, you got too much time in your hands there, Mr. Tato, man.
I'm just going to say, we can't end the crisp chat on this. We can't end the crisp chat. I'm just going to say, quick last ditch recommendation, there's new Walker's Max ones. Have either of you tried them?
Not the new ones.
So the cheese and onion ones are banging.
Oh.
Like they are.
Have they been out for ages?
I don't think so. No, these are big, like a big grab, you know, big bag you're supposed to share.
Oh,
no,
okay,
these are like thick. And I mean, they make McCoy's look like little bloody Pringles in terms of thickness. These are thick crisps, almost like every one's a three stuck together, full of flavour. And I'm going to shout out the Walker's Max cheese and onion, but also the spicy chicken wings ones. They are really spicy, and I'm a big fan of both. Adam Carroll.
Yes.
Last question. How do you handle extremely pressurized situations when you're faced with impossible choices? Thomas says, naturally, I'm talking about Subway. I never plan in advance and always crumble and get the same thing. He's joking, but how do you handle pressurized situations? What's your method?
My method is just speaking out loud to the person that's behind the counter. Do you know, you just end up going, you got that there. And then you just go for the exact same thing as Thomas is saying. But with regarding Subway and things like that, I always know what I'm going for. But you know, you go into some new places and do you know where I get absolutely, I fumble massively is when I'm getting a burrito. A burrito situation.
Where from?
It's one of those, it's just because you walk in. And they are ready. That crew behind those fucking burrito counters are ready. Right? You walk
up. Where are you getting a burrito from? I've not got anywhere around here I can do that.
Boojum and stuff like that. Do you have that over there?
I have no idea what word you just said, but I've never heard of it.
Okay, well, like there's a couple of burrito places here, and like
that's
you
awesome.
Go in.
I wish
like,
there was here.
Ah, there definitely is. There definitely is. If Ireland is fucking selling burritos, the UK is definitely selling burritos.
You said it.
But like when I go in there, you're like you've a load of wraps to choose from, and like instantly, like it's kind of one of those situations where you walk up to the counter and you already see your man putting on gloves and he's ready, and you're like, oh fuck, and you're like, I'll take the tomato wrap, please, and the veggie burrito, and then he starts going, do you want hot, mild, spicy? And you're just like, and he goes, cheese, guacamole, what rice do you want? And he's like, name me out four different rices. And then at the end of it all, you don't know what you're after getting. But it tastes delicious.
See, I'm going to let you in on secret, ads. When you get older, you won't care. When you get older, like, you stop feeling that pressure. And you're like, you're fucking here to serve me, motherfucker. You are here to serve me. And I will go, do you know what? I'm not being funny. I fucking did this the other day. Went out for a meal with my wife, first time in a very long time. Had our nice meal, we had our bottle of wine, and then we thought, we'll just have one more pint before we go home. Went in a pub, no service there. I'm thinking, they'll serve us in a minute. They didn't. And I turned around and went, fuck this. And we walked out and went in a different pub. There is too much choice now for bad service. So, yeah, not happening. Chris, how do you handle extremely pressurized situations?
Well, I don't really have problems, I have solutions. So when I go into a place, I know exactly what I want and I'll just get it. And if they have to wait, they have to wait. I'm there on my time, not theirs. You know, they're paid, like you said, they're paid to serve me. It's not, you should feel no pressure. You should be able to buy what you want. You spend enough money on it. So, Tom, go in there, decide what you want at the till if you want. Don't go in with an idea. Just go in, look at the board, and if it comes to your point to be served, carry on looking at the board because you want to make yourself happy with what you eat. So fuck them. Look after yourself then.
And if the people behind you sort of start tutting, you just turn around and you look at them and you lift your hand up and you point right in their face and you go, you shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you turn back and then if they start tutting again, you just turn around and go, do you want some? I'll see you outside, mate. You want some? Do you think I care? I don't care. You're 12. You're 22. I'm nearly 40. You think I'm gonna? Do you think I care? Fuck you. And then if they don't leave, maybe the police will come and escort you off the premises, and then the situation's solved, isn't it? Because you don't get nothing. I won't go to Subway because last time I did, I bought 3-foot-longs. That's what they're called, isn't it?
Why did you get three?
Because my kids were with me.
Oh, well, you've... Okay, there you go. Well, that's what you will do.
Well, the assumption that you figured I'd just eat three of them because I'm such a fucking fat
bastard.
But
that's what you said. You go, I'm never going to Subway again because I got 3-foot-longs, as if you were pressured yourself into buying 3-foot-longs and you were eating them outside crying.
No, let me finish. I bought three of them. One for each of us, no drinks, and it was very busy. £17, she goes. Okay, oh yeah, thanks, pay for it by card. Walk out the door and go, hang on a fucking minute. £17? I don't know who else's food I paid for, but there's no way it was just mine, was there?
I think that's pretty cheap.
It's 17 quid for 3 sandwiches.
They're huge.
Yeah, but they're also really bad. The bread's awful. Subway bread is terrible.
Oh, stop, don't badmouth the Sub.
No, I'm sorry, I will. Their bread's awful.
You're awful.
I am. But I won't pretend I'm not. And nor should you, listener. And you should subscribe. See, I took this question as like completely different, and I thought it was more like a genuinely like. And I had my usual like Jerry Springer moment, and I'm not going to do it now. Yeah, you're not getting it because we ended on a joke. Because that is the end of the podcast. Chris, Adam, thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Where can people find you? Do you want people to find you? Do you want people to find you? You tell them.
Like in my actual house.
Well, I wouldn't go in that way with it. I was going more on the sosh mead or the sock mead. The soshes.
People that already know me know where I am.
Sounds vaguely threatening.
I don't want to tell people to follow me because I'm a boring bastard.
Fair play. Well, what I would say is if you did enjoy this podcast, if you listened because you saw the Final Fantasy VII image and you went, ooh, then thank you for the flamboyant, you know,
Kenneth Williams
for the first time. Yeah, the Kenneth Williams. But maybe you'd like to subscribe, give us another chance next week, or listen to last week's and just see what you think. We sometimes have other people on with us as well. We tend to be the three that are always here. But, you know, maybe have a listen next week, see what you think, and maybe go to godisageek.com and maybe, you know, have a look around there and see what you think of that stuff as well. And on the videos and everything we do, put a lot of effort in, a lot of work in, and we do it for love. That's the remarkable thing. Chris, I love you. Oh, I couldn't. I was like, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it to Adam. Adam, I love you. Listeners, I love you. But not in that way. Be nice to one another. Do you know what? I've had a week of it. Like, it's the wrong time of the podcast to be talking like this, but I've had a hell of a week. Just be nice. Adam Carroll, be nice, all right? You especially. I know what you're like.
Why?
Just be nice, all right?
I was being nice about the burrito.
Don't
you're
argue.
You're telling them to fuck off.
Don't argue.
See what I'm faced with, listeners? Right. Every week, I was...
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel warm.
I love you too, Chris.
I love you. I love you both.
I love everyone.
More than friends.
Love is special.
And we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.